The Off the Ball Podcast Network. OTB AM. This is OTB Sports Radio.
My replacements, my Lions bench, Keane Healy, Tyke Furlong, Niall Scannell.
Scannell should wear the 16 jersey, but we won't get into semantics here.
Grant. Devon Toner. Devon Toner's back in the bench, and I think Keith Wood had a good line about him having a bit of bite, a little bit of nastiness at the moment, and that's exactly what this Ireland team needs, and there's no way that I'm throwing him out at the moment. I've got a 6-2 split, because I think at the minute that's kind of what we need, and it gives the opportunity against Scotland, if things aren't going well, to roll on Peter O'Mahony, CJ Stander, and Keane Healy and Tyke Furlong at the same time, and you're looking over the bench going, oh Jesus, look at this. See, I think that would be pretty amazing. We've got Conor Murray at 22 and Andrew Conway at 23. I think Conway could probably be starting. I think he's pushing. There's no way I'd not have him in my 23. Like, my bench is amazing. It's an amazing bench. You've CJ Stander, Peter O'Mahony, Devon Toner, Niall Scannell, Tyke Furlong and Keane Healy. Between the 47th minute and the 60th minute, you're rolling that bench out.
Yeah.
You're kicking the shit out of anybody in that last 25 minutes. I also think that it would be good for us to get away from the whole you're the starter and you're nailed on and never ever will you not be a sub, which is kind of what we had under Joe Schmidt. There was like, there were starters and there were subs. We didn't have that whole sense of this being
the finishers.
Yeah, we didn't have that. We didn't really have that, did we?
I never got the sense that
like...
It definitely felt like
if you weren't in the starting team, you were dropped.
You definitely felt like...
And you were either dropped from the team to the replacements or you were gone. Yeah, so I didn't use the word finishers there. You put words in my mouth. I hate the word finishers. But anyway, Stephen Ferris, good morning to you. How you doing?
Good morning. Hi, Saints lads.
You think I need my head examined for that team?
Well, I was reading a few of the comments below the video. I think people called you worse, didn't they, Ger?
I think so. Well, I didn't check that. But let me just restate my case. I think that we became very obsessed with the starting 15 in Irish rugby, that you were a starter or you were nothing. And actually what we need now is to have a bigger squad of players who are available who don't feel like they're guaranteed to be picked irrespective of their current form.
Yeah, but it's a good feeling to know that you are guaranteed a place when you're playing well. So I think if you're playing well and you're put onto the bench, then that's actually a negative thing. I think probably one of the questions that I would ask you, Ger, is like, so why would you have your best players playing 30, 35 minutes in a game instead of 55, 60 minutes?
I guess I don't feel like they're our best players at the moment in terms of their form. I just don't feel like O'Mahony and Stander are at their best level. I don't feel like Conor Murray's...
What about Furlong and Healy?
Well, so the Furlong has obviously got back in ahead into the Leinster team. He was dropped for one of the Northampton games and it looked at that stage like Andrew Porter was just getting ahead of him. So that was like a 50-50 call, fair enough. With Healy, it did feel like at the World Cup...
Kilcoyne
was just a bit ahead of him because he was fit. Healy got injured, obviously, if you remember, in the England game in the World Cup, and then didn't have his explosive power that we saw up to that point in the World Cup, and it felt like Kilcoyne had edged ahead of him. If you pick those two ahead of those two, I'm fine with that, but it just would be nailed on.
Yeah, I think one of the things that is really tough at the minute is because of the lads coming back from the World Cup. And they're not playing. So, like, everybody's saying, oh, John Cooney should be starting ahead of Conor Murray. You know, it's Neil Dawn. And the reason for that, and the reason why people are saying that, is because he's playing rugby every single week. You know, he's played so many games this season. He's scoring tries. Where Conor Murray, did he make his first start in the Pro 14 against Ulster this whole season? So, like, again, you're looking at the back row and you're going, oh, Peter O'Mahony, we have hardly seen him. You know, he pulled out just before the Saracens away game. We haven't seen much of him at all this season. CJ Stander, again, the reins have been held on him and a few other players there also. And then you're kind of talking about Doris, Deegan, Will Connor, Scott Penny, you know, Ross Byrne and, you know, all these lads. Why? Because we're seeing them week in, week out play rugby and playing at a really high level. So I think I've said this before and I've said it live on TV. I think for Ireland to be more successful when it comes to the major competition, i.e. the World Cup, I feel that their big game players, well, more or less all their players, need to play a little bit more rugby coming into that. And, you know, at the minute, I think we're all calling for these young guys to be brought into the Irish team because we're seeing them play week in, week out.
It's an interesting point you make, because I think if you go back to the last World Cup, Stephen, you had the season where Connacht went and won the Pro 12. Now, I'm not saying that Ulster and Connacht are comparable at all. I think that Ulster, perhaps their success is something that we're going to see next season and the season after. But I guess it's a valid point. The reason why Connacht won the Pro 12, and it's not the whole reason, they beat Leinster in the final, a bloody good Leinster team, they deserve to win the Pro 12, but they had a great start to the season when everybody was away at the World Cup, and they had that momentum built into the second half of the season.
Yeah, and again, it's just players playing regularly and playing consistently, and if you're playing a week in, week out, you get that confidence, and you seem to build you build connections with the team around you. I think one of the huge positives that I've seen come out of Leinster rugby of late is that Leo Cullen has made so many changes to his team, but yet they've still been playing to that really high level. And I think if you made that amount of changes, Jer, if you threw in those changes in the international game, that you wouldn't get that consistency level. I think there would be a slight drop off, and it might take time for those combinations to come together. But Connacht, they got it right that year. They had a lot more players that were playing on that week in, week out basis. And for me, you know, international rugby is a completely different ball game. The standard, everybody says, oh, it goes up an extra 10% when you get from Pro 14 to European Cup, and then it goes up another 10 or 15% when you get to international rugby. And I 100% back that up. But if Andy Farrell turns around and he goes, you know what, I'm going to make a raft of changes, I'm going to bring in all these new guys, and he loses three out of the five games. Jerry, you'll be sitting doing an off-the-ball show in 2.5 months' time saying, is Andy Farrell the right man? Should he have played all these guys? So I think, you know, in hindsight, it's a wonderful thing. But when it comes to international rugby, you need some experience in there as well. Guys that have been there, done it, got the T-shirt. Yes, I totally agree with you. I think there should be a scattering of some young guys that are brought in there and guys given opportunity throughout the tournament. But, you know, just looking at the South Africa team, Jared, when you put up that board of all that, you know, experience and to come on for 30 or 35 minutes onto the bench, you look at the South African team that won the World Cup, would you left Matawara on the bench, who was arguably man of the match? Would you left Cheslin Kolbe on the bench? Would you have left Faf de Klerk on the bench? Would you have left Etzebeth on the bench? Would you have left Khaleesi or Dwayne Vermeulen on the bench? Absolutely not. So I think there's arguments for that.
Yeah, and look, I get that. And I think that if we were playing a World Cup final, I probably wouldn't be advocating going with the kids. But for the start, for the very first game, it was kind of about laying down a marker saying, whatever you've done up to this point, I really respect the fact that you've reached this stage in your career, but we're going to pick the best available players to us on current form. You make a great point that we haven't seen any of these players play. And I don't know if you're the head coach, what you do to balance that, where in training you're trying to assume that the markers they're hitting are indicative that they're ready to go in a Six Nations match, or if you just have to, you know, maybe then you are looking back on what they've done for you in the last couple of years and going, okay, we're going to get this one big game out of them, and then they'll start kicking on to what we know they have been capable of in the past. It's a very difficult decision to balance up.
It is. I totally agree with that point, for sure. I think reading into it and listening to a lot of the players that have worked under Andy Farrell, I think Andy Farrell is looking for athletes. I think he's looking for the back row that played for England. I think he's looking for that type of player. Lots of energy, lots of pace, lots of physicality, very mobile around the pitch. And there are some guys in this Irish team that Andy Farrell might not be his type of player. And somebody like Peter Omani, who's been, you know, brilliant, but he doesn't have that explosive power like a Max Deegan or a Caelan Doris. But he has other attributes that are brilliant for international rugby. So, you know, that's what Andy Farrell's got to weigh up. You know, that's why he's taking this job on, and he's got to make a few big decisions. You know, leaving Devon Toner out of a Rugby World Cup, for me, Joe Smith, I thought that was a crazy decision. Would I still have him involved? I probably think he's the third or fourth best second row in Ireland at the minute. So if that's my thinking, I would probably have him on the bench against Scotland in the Six Nations. And you know, there's other guys who are going to have an input. You know, the new coaching staff, Mike Cack, coming in there also. He's going to have his views and opinions on the style of play. If you're picking on form, Jer, are you leaving out Robbie Henshaw and Bundy Aki and playing Stuart McCluskey? Yeah, I just don't know. And it's a really, really tough one. But I think you got to have experience, as you keep alluding to there.
Yeah, I mean, you probably are. Like, that's the thing. The difficulty, it does come back down to the management of the players. And I suppose the management of the players was done by this coaching ticket. So they were getting those players managed on their behalf. So if they're taking out Conor Murray and they're taking out Stander and they're taking out O'Mahony, then it's on behalf of Andy Farrell that that was happening. So already they are his guys in a way that John Cooney has yet to become his guy.
Yeah, again, you're right, Ger. And I just feel if I was a player who didn't go to the World Cup and I was playing really well and I was, you know, getting man of the matches week in, week out, you know, John Cooney, top point scorer in the Pro 14. You know, he's been superb in Europe. He was fantastic for the 65 minutes he played against Claremont last weekend. And then Conor Murray plays, 2.5 games? And then he starts against Scotland. That'd be knocking on Andy Farrell's door going, hey, hold on here a second. Yes, he's got that experience. He's been there, but I'm the informed player here. I'm the one that's making the calls. I'm the one that's, you know, grabbed Ulster by the scruff of the neck and taken them forward over the last 2 years, but yet you're still moving back to what you know. And Andy Farrell might turn around and go, well, this is my first game as head coach. I'm just going with what I know. And to be honest, I need to get off to a winning start, and this is what I'm going with. So, from a player's point of view, you always want to be, you know, if you're playing the best rugby, then you think you deserve a shot. And if you're not getting that shot, then, you know, that could be detrimental.
Yeah, I see exactly how, if you're Andy Farrell, you could slow play this. Play a bunch of the team who you know and say to John Cooney, look, that's the team for the start in my first season. We're going to have a really good first season in terms of results. But this is a long game you've got to play here. We've got the summer tour in Australia. You're going to come on the summer tour if you keep playing the way you are, and you're going to get one of those games. You're going to start one of those games. Like, it is about management that we never hear of. We'll just see, if he picks Conor Murray, there'll be an outcry saying, oh, Jesus, he's not picking on form. But maybe he has a long-term ambition to make Cooney his number one. We'll never know on that unless he actually tells us.
I think it depends on what style of rugby he's going to try and go with. You know, everybody's talking about when I'm at Kingspan on a Friday night there a couple of weeks ago when Ulster hammered Munster. It was, when was the last time we've seen Conor Murray make a line break? Or when was the last time we've seen Conor Murray put somebody through a hole? Or, you know, John Cooney, a length of the field try, and he's top point scorer and he's making tries for fun. And yes, that's all well and good in the Pro 14 and sometimes the European Cup, but international rugby is a completely different ballgame. Conor Murray's box kicking was better than John Cooney's at the Kingspan Stadium. He'd done the basics really, really well. So for anybody to write him off, I think, you know, forget about that. But when it comes to the form thing again, then Cooney, for me, definitely is up there. But it's a tricky one, and everybody has their own opinions. You know, if I read out my team, Ger, of who I think should start the Six Nations, it's going to be different for yours. And it's going to be different from Dricko's or whoever else. And Andy Farrell's got to get the balance right. And I think combinations are a huge thing. I know the back row's been a big talking point because there isn't really, you know, two or three players that you're going, they're my guys, they're the lads that are going to take on this back row. And those combinations, I think, are crucial. You can't just throw the three best players in there and hope it works. I think, you know, you've got to have a bit of a combination.
That's interesting, because Stuart Barnes was on the show on Monday night talking about CJ Stander, saying that he needs to be dropped, and Joe put the point to him that perhaps a new role could be found for him, and he disagreed with that, Stuart Barnes. He said Stander is not an amazing athlete for a forward. He's a lump and he is solid, organised and does what he does very well, but it is without ambition. He'll make tackles but won't make lasting tackles. He is a glue player, Stephen, is what Stuart Barnes said of CJ Stander.
Yeah, well, Barnsey, he loves waving the knives, doesn't he? Yeah, he does have a couple of valid points. I think something with CJ Stander, when he first came on the scene, he did have a little bit more explosive power. I think other teams have found him out as well. He carries very upright at times. You know, if you tag the ball, he's a lot easier to stop. He's a big, solid man. I know he's had a couple of good games with a six jersey on his back. Maybe that's an option. But for me, the likes of Deegan and Doris, you know, really, I think they've really shown something different. And I think they deserve an opportunity at some stage during this Six Nations, because they have played so, so well over the last 6 weeks. So, yeah, CJ Stander, he's going to have to raise his game, because the pressure is coming on. This hasn't just been the last couple of months. You know, this has been throughout the World Cup also, even getting into last year's Six Nations. And, you know, lads are starting to breathe down his neck. And if Andy Farrell thinks that he's not playing well enough, then he's got to make that call and get some of these young lads in.
Can I go back to the point you made about if Farrell loses three of the five games, that we'll all be sitting here going to ask him, is he the right man? If he makes the decision that in 50-50 calls, I'm going to go with the younger player for this, at the end of the tournament, I think everybody would go, well, look, we've now seen, we've given a bunch of players their opportunity. If he picks Caelan Doris ahead, say, of Stander for a game, and Doris doesn't do very well, we're not going to kill Doris, and I don't think anybody's going to kill Andy Farrell for that, because it is an opportunity that we're all anxious to see the kids, and it's the one thing that we all kind of really enjoy, watching young players coming through and going, ooh, this could be anything, this could be the birth of a great career. But the point you make about Stander at six is excellent. I guess we hadn't really kind of had that conversation. Everybody has pigeonholed him now as an eight because that's where he's played, but you could have him at six, Van der Fleer at seven, and Doris could start at eight, and suddenly that's a very experienced back row.
Yeah, but it wasn't like 18 months ago we were saying who's going to take over the captaincy for Ireland. Oh yeah, Peter O'Mahony's the man that's going to take over for the captaincy. You know, he seems to be the leader. Now everybody's talking about Peter O'Mahony. Is he playing good enough rugby at the minute to even, you know, warrant his place in the Irish team? And like, it changes week to week. It really, really does. But that's professional sport, and that's what we got to go on. But I think if Andy Farrell makes a couple of changes or a couple of surprise additions to the Ireland squad, and they go away to Twickenham and they get beaten by 50 points, then, you know, it's obviously the manner in which they lose those two or three games that, you know, for me, if they go with inexperience, then you go, geez, Andy Farrell made a bad call there. So I don't think that's going to happen in terms of, I don't think in international rugby, the way Ireland are playing it, have been playing over the last 3 or 4 years, that they're going to get hockeyed by 40 or 50 points. I think those days are long gone. But, you know, international rugby, it's all results-driven, guys.
Yeah, and last time we were tweaking them before the World Cup, things didn't go our way. So obviously, yeah, that's going to be in the background. Are you confident that things are going to go well for this Ireland team at the moment, that there's enough players playing well?
Yeah, I think so. Obviously, the change... it's going to take a while to settle in. You know, we haven't touched on Munster really about the changes that they've made in their coaching staff. And for me, it feels like they're going through a bit of a transitional period. Will we see something similar with Ireland? I'm not sure we'll see the same extent, but it might take a few games. But you just look at Leinster, all the lads are playing superbly well. Ulster have been brilliant at times this season. Munster, we all know what they're capable of. We just haven't seen enough of it this year. And Connacht, hopefully they can pull themselves together and get a good, strong finish to the season. So, yeah, I think there's enough players out there, Jared, to give any international team a run.
Just last question for you. What would your 6-7-8 be for Ireland right now, today, if you had to pick a team for the Scotland game?
Yeah, I've written it down here somewhere. I actually went with the full team. I went with Healy, Kelleher, Furlong, Ryan, Henderson. I have Deegan / O'Mahony, Van der Fleer / Peter O'Mahony at seven, and CJ / and obviously if Conan was fit, I think Conan, if he got a couple of games under his belt, and we know that's not going to happen. But for me, I'm probably going to go with what I would do would be Deegan, O'Mahony, and CJ Stander.
Right.
What Andy Farrell's going to do is Peter O'Mahony, Josh Van der Fleer, CJ Stander. And then for me, the back line, Cooney, Sexton, if he's fit, Stockdale. Henshaw, Aki or McCluskey. I would go McCluskey if we're picking on form. Ringrose, Conway, and surprise, surprise, big surprise, I would go Will Addison at fullback. Sorry, right. Jordan Armour.
Right. Okay, that's a really interesting team, Stephen. Thanks very much for sharing that with us. Plenty for us to talk about. We'll stick that up and see what the comments are like. Good man, Happy New Year to you.
Yeah, Happy New Year. Cheers, lads.
OTB. AM. This is OTB Sports Radio.
Right, top five stories for you that we're talking about here on OTB AM this morning. The Irish captaincy. It looks like Johnny Sexton's going to get the nod that he's going to be fit for the game against Scotland. He's the obvious candidate. Number two, the very latest from the FAI. There are further meetings today. There were meetings yesterday at government buildings. There was a doorstep in the immediate aftermath of that. We'll get to that. The old Munster, stop comparing us, is what Keith Earls says. That's our third story for you today. Plenty to get stuck into there. The performance clock in sport is the unwieldy title. It's Kieran Shannon's piece talking about what Stuart Lancaster was presenting to an annual gathering of coaches at DCU last weekend. And Luke Kuechly has retired. That's our fifth story. One of the best linebackers in the NFL. 28 years of age, at the absolute peak of his powers. But after a series of concussions, he's gone from the sport. Luke Kuechly looked like one of those players who could play on until he was like 33 or 34. He was that good, completely able to take over games. And that sport is in a bit of a difficult situation when it comes to the concussion issue. Let's go back to the Ireland captaincy. Who is next? You've been calling for James Ryan the whole way along.
And it's going to be Johnny Sexton, according to Gerry Thornley this morning in the Irish Times. As you say, the obvious candidate. Perhaps our view on this whole thing was affected by the fact that Johnny Sexton picked up a knock before Christmas and we thought that he wasn't going to be involved.
James Ryan has a calf injury. Is there any possibility that's feeding into this as well? That like they think, oh, he might not be fit for this game?
Well, it can't be, can it? You can't pick your captain based on whether or not they're going to miss the first couple of games. But I'll hold my hands up and say that on some level, the Sexton injury did inform our discussion on this, and we weren't talking about him being in the starting team for Scotland, and James Ryan was going to be in the starting team for Scotland, and therefore we kind of picked him as captain. I think in an overall sense, this probably does make sense, and you have to trust that Andy Farrell sees a number of years left in Johnny Sexton. If you get to the end of 2021 still playing at a high level, still holding on to the number 10 jersey fairly comfortably, then I think that's he has to be captain. Then the other flip side of that is, when Joey Carberry comes back, is he going to be pushing for that 10 jersey? Is Johnny Sexton's position going to be in doubt? Because, I don't know, I think that for a captain, you need to be... I know you're against the idea of anybody being concrete in the squad, but I think you need to be as close to concrete as possible.
Today at 4 o'clock, they're going to release a video where the captain will be announced. Is it important? Does it matter?
Yes, it matters in rugby on a practical sense. I think...
Does it though? Like, can anybody not just go and talk to the referee and say, right, okay, or yeah, or point to the post? Like, it's not that complicated. That part of it is not that complicated.
I think it matters in the context of this particular Ireland squad. Who does Andy Farrell feel is the leader of this particular squad? I think in previous regimes, if Joe Schmidt was still there, perhaps it mightn't be as illuminating, but we don't know much about this team. We're taking stabs in the dark around certain areas of his starting team for Scotland. Once Sexton is given the captaincy today, we know a little bit more about Andy Farrell and his view of the squad. We know that Farrell is backing Sexton for the medium term at the very least.
Look, and you can see exactly the pressures he's under. The financial pressure to achieve in this competition, was it 80% of the entire revenue that the IRFU generates is generated from the senior international team? It's some ridiculous figure anyway. It's massively weighted towards the senior international team in terms of the money that they generate. A lot of that's in sponsorships, some of it's in TV rights. A little bit of it is in how they actually perform in the Six Nations. There's prize money for this. So they're sitting down with him saying, we need the prize money. You need to do very well. That's like his KPIs, to use the bullshit management speak, are to win games. And not to like, oh, well, I'm picking my team with the World Cup in my head.
That's interesting, isn't it?
Yeah, it's 4 years away. Yeah. So, like, that's not going to happen. He's like, win games.
No, and I accept that for now, but it is interesting that the KPI is winning Six Nations games because they are the most frequent games that you have. Should our KPIs be altered with a view to the longer term and not getting brought back down to earth at the next World Cup? Because beyond that, then there would be greater implications of perhaps breaking that glass ceiling.
Maybe we just need to forget about the World Cup. Maybe we just need to win and win and win and win and have a winning culture and just roll that winning culture off the back of a good Six Nations. I don't know. The next World Cup's in France, isn't it?
Yeah. Like they,
that's
those
again,
World Cup,
great record in France.
French World Cups tend not to go our way.
We love them. Well, we're not going to stay in the shithole in Bordeaux on the outskirts of...
Let's not make that affirmation just yet.
An industrial estate. Right, it's 11 minutes past 8 this morning. Let's move on to Munster. Keith Earl saying that people need to stop comparing us with the old Munster. Things have changed. Rugby has moved on. And rugby has undoubtedly moved on. Earls was actually part of that old Munster as well. He's the last hangover from that. And so he knows exactly what he's talking about. And if he's asking for a little bit of space and time for this coaching ticket to bed down, then I understand that. I do think that the team, that they didn't invest enough in this year's playing pool, that they needed to get players in this year, or they needed to blood younger players. Like we don't have, in the aftermath of the game against Racing at the weekend, as the smoke clears and the dust settles and whatever other crappy cliches you want to use, we don't at least have the, well, four or five young lads got to experience exactly what that was like for a significant portion of the game. Mm. He didn't go to the subs bench early. He went to the subs bench late. And Darcy's column today is pointing out that what the message that is, I've got 18 or 19 players. Yeah. I do not have a squad of 23 players. I don't trust yet the young players to do me a job in that environment.
That much is very evident for Munster, that they don't have a 23-man squad that is good enough to compete in Europe at the moment. That needs to change. That comes from signings. That comes from the two players that are going to come in next year. But it should, in an ideal world, come from the players that you're seeing now getting minutes with the senior team who are going to become top-class Munster players. And that number is very, very low at the moment. Like, it's hard to actually point out any of the kids that are coming through at Munster that are definitely going to make the breakthrough next season, because...
Well, Darcy is talking about the Finian Witcherly, but there's two Witcherlys, right? So they obviously are players that you would expect to have... So Finian is saying, by all accounts, this guy's the real deal. He's 22 now.
You see, that's the point. Like, it's...
Is he the next Jack O'Donoghue, and that we'll have to wait 3 years before he fully matures, especially because Snyman and Klein are going to play the majority of games next season. So, like, this was the year to stick him in. So, Billy Holland, obviously a great club servant, but do you benefit from having had Billy Holland play that game versus Witcherly? In the aftermath of it and the defeat, everybody's like, well, we know exactly what Billy can do, and that's, as I said, he's had a great career at Munster level, but wouldn't they have been better sticking the younger players in? It's the same argument that I'm making with the Ireland team, in that when there's a 50-50 call, if you haven't made the investment that Munster didn't make at the start of the year in the coaching players, in the playing pool, then you kind of wrote that season off. It's you were saying, like, oh look, next year they're going to be great. Like,
I didn't say they're going to be great next season. I think that I don't think that the business that they've done has been a big fat knot. Like, they've done something, like, they got Nick McCarthy in between seasons. Like, that was obviously with a view to the number 9 jersey, which they perhaps view as being up for grabs in a few seasons' time. They obviously signed for next season, next year. It's not enough, clearly not enough to get them through the pool stages in Europe this year. Like, the results speak for themselves. I can't make an argument to say, yeah, they definitely did enough, and fair play to everybody involved at Munster Rugby, because look at them now, because I can't stand over that. I'm just saying that what they've done hasn't been... a sort of chin stroking, let's wait to see if everything's going to be okay.
That's what you're doing, though. I'd gladly pay you Tuesday for hamburger today. That's the, like, ah, oh, you know, I'm like, the only way to rescue a season where you have made no,
it's a play to kids
investment, exactly, and then everybody's like, oh look, and the kids are the ones who are actually going to be the ones who are betting in Roundtree's systems and Larkham's systems. And then everybody, at least I think, has a sense of positivity about it.
I agree with you on that. Like, when you see the likes of both and Clute coming on off the bench on Sunday, you think to yourself, is there somebody who's even just a little bit below the current standard of these, but who has higher ceiling?
Yeah.
Like, I think it's Darcy's column that mentioned this as well, but like, we all know about that disastrous season that Leo Cullen had with Leinster at the start, when they got hammered in a couple of European games.
Five pool games they lost.
Yeah, and then did they beat Bath at home? Where there was certainly a big turnaround within weeks when they played all the kids at the RDS against Bath, and that was a moment where you thought, well, this guy are actually pretty good, but more importantly, they're quite young, and our season is done anyway. We're not going to win this tournament, so we may as well try them out and see where they're at next year. And then lo and behold, this is a golden generation that Leinster have. So I think that there's a lot of lessons they can learn from how they did that. But one of the most important differences is that quality is a golden generation. I'm sure Leo Cullen knew that these kids were going to be extremely good. But maybe Munster don't have that.
Yeah, and those two lads coming in next year are going to play every game, obviously. Because the young players coming through at centre and second row will be like, okay, well, I'm not going to get any game time here, because it's not like they're going to be away for Six Nations. You know, they're definitely going to be there, assuming fitness and health.
OTB AM. This is OTB Sports Radio. That was an Off the Ball Podcast Network presentation.